listening to Culture Mark Pop.
It's going to be hilarious.
You'd best put seatbelts on your ears, Roy. Because I'm going to take them for the ride of their lives.
On ThesDesSays.net.
I've been running. Must not have run. Now it's time for me to stop, 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 stop.
This intro song goes out to any Whovians who regularly partake in the tripping on balls. The acid trip. I don't know where this is from. I just found this on the YouTubes. I like it, though. Anyway. Happy Saturday to your ass, wherever it may be. Although, I'm going to shatter the fourth wall here. I'm actually recording this on a Friday. Thank fudge, it's flippin' Friday. You're listening to Culture My Pop on ThingsDesSays.net. We're here, and I got a very special show today. Faraz isn't here. Sherlock Homeboy in Orlando, and rumor has it he's not very happy about it. But we'll have him on Monday for the wrestling show, and we're going to talk to him about his trip so far. So that should be fun on Monday on the People's Podcast. So look out for that. We're here today to talk about another nerd spectacular, another thing that everybody's been talking about. And actually, WWE had a big presence there, and we'll probably talk about that on Monday. But San Diego Comic-Con happened last weekend. I think it ended on Sunday last weekend. And so I thought I'd get a guest to come on and talk about basically all the stuff that went down at Comic-Con. So I had a good friend of mine, Katie Madden, who's a journalist, activist, all sorts of cool things. She joined me for a little bit, and we talked about it, and we had a good time. So we'll get to that conversation in a little bit. If you're into comics, if you're into superheroes, these fancy new shows that are on the ABC network, I think there's stuff coming to the CW soon. If you're into any of that nerd stuff, man, I know the nerds are. They're waiting in eager anticipation. They want to listen to what Katie saw at Comic-Con. If you're into cosplay at all, well, then you're going to want to stick around because Katie Madden's got a lot to say about that. She was very into the cosplay scene at Comic-Con this year. San Diego, it's the granddaddy of them all. I hate to keep going back to fake sports, but San Diego Comic-Con, essentially the WrestleMania, the Super Bowl of comic books. Yeah, there's my... I broke the rule. I deserve that. I deserve that. That's fine. Hey, there's some stuff coming up right now, man. Radio Shack is apparently in financial trouble. Shocker. I had no idea that Radio Shack was still even open, but they're apparently in trouble. Circuit City's gone. I don't know about how Best Buy's doing. But anyway, the reason I bring this up is I would always show up to Radio Shack and I would pick up some equipment, last-minute things. When you're running a podcast like this, you need some cheap but affordable and good-sounding equipment. Radio Shack might not be with us for much longer, which is why I want to bring this up to you. If you're in need of some affordable equipment, if you need it quickly, say for your podcast, say if you're buying anything, really, it doesn't matter what you buy. You don't need Radio Shack anymore, man. You need Amazon.com. And on Amazon.com, you can buy anything you want. Anything that your little heart desires, you may purchase. Or as our historian Faraz would say, purchase over at Amazon.com. Remember, first go to ThingsDesSays.net, click on the Amazon link, and from then on out, for a short period of time, any purchase you make using that link, well, the giant commercial entity that is Amazon.com will kick a little something back to us. So I can continue to fuel my Pop-Tart addiction. I can continue to, support my habit. The reality is, hosting a podcast is fucking expensive. And I need your help. And I don't like asking for donations. I don't like putting a big gold PayPal button on my website and saying, hey, send me money. So I've decided to go with the happy medium. Buy the stuff that you were going to buy anyway. But when you do, it doesn't cost you any extra. There's no hidden fees. But whatever you spend, Amazon will give me a little something back that goes back into making the website good, making the podcast sound as cool as possible, and making sure that we get to archive as many shows as we can. Because that is where shit gets expensive. That's where shit gets hairy. So go to thingsdesays.net, click on the link, and your support, that's the best way to support the podcast. You can also leave reviews on iTunes. We got the iTunes button. All you got to do, click on it, and you're automatically subscribed to all of our podcasts. So if you like Culture My Pop, you get Culture My Pop every Saturday. If you like The People's Podcast, where we talk about men in tights, you get that every Monday. And whatever other bonus stuff we do, you'll get that. You'll get Throwback Vibes every third Thursday of the month. So you can get all those things if you subscribe to us on iTunes. It's 2014. You should be on iTunes at this point. If you're not, then you should be ashamed of yourself. Anyway, those are the plugs out of the way. That's how I try and keep the lights on here. Not that I need the lights on, but other people apparently like having lights on, so that's how we do it. I had a valuable learning experience in comedy this week. It was, I don't know. I'm at a point in my comedy right now where I think for everyone who creates something, who produces something from their mind, you reach a point where it's like a lapse in creativity, you know? I'm at a point right now where I have material that I love and that's really good and works and I always get to laugh. I'm trying to build now, trying to build more stuff, trying to make new ideas into funny ideas. And when you try and get to that point, you're rebuilding and you already have stuff that works. So you know how it feels to have people laugh at you and enjoy you. So now I'm at a point where I'm trying to build new stuff and it's a process, you know? It's a process of making things that come from your mind be funny. And I'm having a tough time with that. I've bombed this week. I had one good show this week. Let's put it that way. It was last night in Burbank. It was great. It was good. I'm very happy with the way my new material has evolved. But the way what I said a couple weeks ago for what I learned in comedy this week. Oh, wrong button. Oh, fuck it. I don't know what button the thing is. We'll be fine. What I learned in comedy this week, though, it goes back to what I learned a couple weeks ago. Where bombing makes you funnier. And so I've bombed so many times this week. You continue coming back, continue putting new stuff together. And if a joke doesn't work for an audience, tweak it a little bit and then do it again at the next mic. Tweak it again, do it again at the mic after that until it works. And last night, I'm starting to experience a little bit of the residuals from constantly going out there and failing in front of people. Because the more you fail, the more successful you're going to be and the better it's going to taste. So that's kind of my takeaway from this week is keep going out there, keep looking like an idiot, keep looking like an asshole. It's going to be worth it when this stuff starts working and it starts paying off. Shout out, by the way, to my man Tom West, who runs a great new workout room in Eagle Rock, California. Eagle Rock, the coolest name for a city or a neighborhood that I've ever heard. Eagle Rock. This is a great room, man. It's at a place called the Red Dragon. And it's a Chinese restaurant that also sells pizza. And those are like my two favorite things in the world, man. So if you want to do the workout room in Eagle Rock, California, Tom West runs a great room. He's a great dude, very talented musician. He's going to be on the podcast next week. So if you want to hear more about this, he'll be on Culture My Pop next week. But he runs a great room. So if you want, if you're in the Eagle Rock, Pasadena area, and you want someone to work out on a Wednesday night, look for Tom West. He's a great dude. And he'll put you up, man. He's a great guy. He'll put you up and let you do comedy in a very supportive room with great food. All right. I'm doing a show tonight in Studio City. Again, it's Friday. It's Friday night tonight. I'm very leery of this show because I'm the only comedian on it. It's a show with a bunch of bands that I've never heard of, and I'm supposed to be the first act. I'm going to warm these people up. I'm terrified of how this is going to go. I'm very nervous. And I've been looking into ways that I could like get myself confident, and I've figured out I don't have to spend the day stressing out over how my performance is going to go. I can interview myself. I have reached a technological capability listener, I can interview myself from the future. So joining us right now from the future is me.
Greetings from the future.
You got a little bit of background noise. It's very loud over there.
It's very loud in the future.
Okay, cool. I'm just wondering, like, there was a show tonight in Studio City. You were the only comedian there. How did it go? Was it good?
It was okay, you know, it was a good time.
All right. I can dig that.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it. I feel like you should be looking forward to the show that's going to happen for you in like 8 hours.
Well, thank you, me from the future.
It's all right.
Good talking to you. Good hearing from you.
Okay, I'll see you soon. Or maybe not. Best regards from the future.
All right. It's very expensive to conduct these interviews from the future, so I got to keep them short. They charge like 10 galleons per minute or something. Anyway, that's all the bullshit here. I want to talk to Katie Madden, who was at Comic-Con this past weekend, and she has a lot to say about... I really wanted to know about cosplay. This thing called gender swapping, which I didn't know about, but that's happening now in the nerd world. And so much other cool stuff is going on at Comic-Con. There was a lot of cool unveilings. There were many more lines to see those unveilings. So I got Katie Madden on. Katie's got a lot of stuff going on in her life. And if you want to check those things out, you can go up to thingsdeathsays.net. If you're listening on iTunes, just go up to thingsdeathsays.net, click on this podcast, and in the description, you'll find a link that'll take you to Katie's personal website where you can check her stuff out, check out her writing, her activism, check out her resume if you want to hire her. She's a great worker, great colleague of mine. So check her stuff out. Just go to thingsdeathsays.net and click on the link to Katie's personal website. Let's go to the conversation right now. Myself and Katie Madden talking about San Diego Comic-Con 2014. It's Culture My Pop on thingsdeathsays.net. Round two. We're Mortal Kombat-ing this thing. That's how it's going. Or Street Fighter, whatever you prefer. Were you ever much of a gamer?
With stuff like that, I would like watch my brothers play it, and I was like, all right, this is cool.
Yeah.
And sometimes go in arcades, play the little joystick one, but that was the extent of it when I was a kid.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, those games, man. I remember they were the rage. Everyone like, oh my God. I keep getting notifications for this new Facebook Messenger. I don't like this.
I know. Me too. I'm like, I keep thinking like, oh great, I've got a message. And it's like, no, thanks Facebook for getting my hopes up.
God, Facebook. I already have moments where I'm like, God, I'm finally going to get some social interaction. And then she's like, no, just remember to update to us. I'm like, whatever, man. I don't need you.
Basically.
I don't need you in my life, Facebook.
No, we don't. We really don't.
So Comic-Con happened last weekend. And
yes, it did.
For all those who are uninitiated, the San Diego version of Comic-Con is basically where nerd culture and more recently pop culture collide. And
yes.
It's this big extravaganza of stuff. So you were there and I was scouring high and low looking for somebody to talk about Comic-Con. And so I could kind of pretend I knew what I was talking about with them. Because I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't follow like movies or video games. I live in my own little bubble of weirdness. as the listeners know, so give me like an overview of what the event was like. This was your first time showing up there, so what was the whole vibe like?
Oh wow, it was wild. Yeah, again, it was my first time ever at any con ever. So you know, Comic-Con's the biggest one of them all. You know, Comic-Con International, yeah. And it really was international. Like I can't tell you like how many different languages I heard, like, you know, accents throughout the con, which was really cool. Like seeing fans of everything from all over the world. But yeah, it was just gigantic. I think they said that there was like 170,000-180,000 people there, and you could tell because most of the time when you're walking, you're just like squished,
oh yeah,
like into a salami can basically, but it's like you're squished and then people are like trying to pull you out of line to take your picture, and everybody's running in one direction and everybody's running the other direction, and it's just wild, but oh man, is it fun. It is very fun.
My favorite thing about going to conventions, because I've only been to one. I've been to Anime Expo last year.
Oh nice.
And the only cool thing about this is Not only are you do you have people in your way and are you squished and mm-hmm. and accosted, but you're being blocked by Chewbacca.
Basically, yeah, you're being yeah. blocked by it. I can't tell you how many times I was hit with like giant guns and tails.
Now, as a female, mm-hmm. by the way, I have to congratulate you because it's very rare that we get a female on the podcast.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. So, congratulations to you. And every now and again, I get made fun of because the last female we had on the show, I was accused of by my co-hosts, not uh-huh. by our actual guests.
Uh-huh.
But I was accused of flirting with this
woman,
which is completely untrue because I don't know how to flirt. So I wanted to make that clear. So I'm trying to redeem myself here and be a professional, although I don't know what I did last time. But when, as a female going to these conventions, it's like a collective nerdgasm for all the guys there. Is it weird showing up and maybe, you know, this human seems different. She seems to have more estrogen than, you know, this life form is different carbon based than I am.
Yeah. I will say I was pretty pleasantly surprised with my experience in terms of going to a con as a female. You know, my kind of preconceptions of cons and just nerd culture in general were that I was going to run into a bunch of guys that would, you know, call me a fake geek girl because I don't read every single comic or know every single thing about every character ever. You know, that a lot of times girls are often accused of being fake geek girls, quote unquote. And that was something that was like a legitimate concern for me. You know, that was one of them. And then another one was, I have, you know, there is often like rampant sexism in cons, which luckily a lot of cons have been taking a stand against lately. It's like, I forgot, there's like an organization. It's like Cons for Consent. It's like, you know, really? Consent kind of thing. So they're really making an effort to make girls feel more, just everyone, but, particularly females feel a little bit more comfortable at cons. From, you know, we've had really creepy things happen in the past where girls cosplaying, you know, in more revealing outfits are being groped and, you know, people are taking their photographs from like really gross angles that are just, there's a lot of creepy stuff that happens, but, my experience was overwhelmingly positive at Comic-Con this year. And, I know that part of that was due to the fact that I was with my boyfriend like 99% of the time. And just having a guy next to me, you know, that kind of wards off other guys.
Was your boyfriend carrying around like an intimidating weapon? Like if you get
no, it. It's funny because actually 2 days. He had one day he had a bat, and the other day he had this cane when he was a Harley. So I guess two of those days he scared people off with having those.
I shall cane you to death if you approach me and my female.
Basically.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I had a good experience with that. Like I really don't have too many complaints.
It's interesting to me that you bring up that they have an organization now, Consent, protecting these girls, because it's you wouldn't think things would get so crazy, right?
Yeah, well, I believe it started, don't quote me, I don't know what con it was, but in the past there was a group of Lady Thors. This is uh-huh. even before, you know, we had the announcement that Thor was a woman and stuff. These group of cosplayers who dressed up as Lady Thors, and they were super awesome and badass and beautiful. And one of the girls in their group, was being sexually harassed and touched by a guy at the con. And so it turned into this big thing where first off, you know, I'm like, why would you want to piss off a group of Thors?
Yes.
Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking, dude?
Incur
like,
the wrath of Thor.
Yeah. Like wrong group, dude. And you know, that's not the only case. There are lots of other cases of like, of grossness happening at cons. And it's unfortunate that it had to come to making an organization dedicated to stopping that kind of thing. But I think it's helping. I saw some pretty positive things at Comic-Con in terms of how men were treating women.
There's a lot more of this great conversation with Katie Madden. We talk about cosplay and this crazy thing called gender swapping that I've never heard of before. She's going to tell me and you all about that in a second. But first, I want to tell you about some friends I've made in the podcast world, because us podcasters, we got to stick together. Let me tell you about a cool new thing my friends Steve and Andrea are doing over at The Manchild Show, a show about growing up.
Hey, this is Steve.
And Andrea.
And we're the hosts of Manchild, a podcast about grown-up stuff.
Every week we talk about the trials and tribulations of getting older, but not necessarily wiser.
Not at all. Topics we cover include how old is too old to rage at a party?
Never too old to rage.
Modern communication.
One of us only communicates by sexting. Hint, it's not me.
It was only me that one time. How to be a better roommate, and other grown-up stuff like that. We'd love to hang out with you grown-up style. So why?
Ew.
What?
So
why not subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or your favorite podcasting app at manchildshow.com. I'm Steve.
And I'm Andrea.
And we're becoming adults for real this time.
At manchildshow.com.
Now, speaking of cosplay, I know you spent a lot of time putting your cosplay together. And,
yes, I did.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you donned your cosplay and some of the characters you pulled off at this year's con. And also, if you saw any other cosplays that were like, man, that's awesome.
Okay. Well, I'll quickly go over mine. So again, this was my first time ever at a con. It was also my first time ever cosplaying. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go all 4 days cosplaying. And people are like, oh my God, you're crazy.
Oh boy. Yeah.
But I did it. The first day, and mind you, I was doing my 4 cosplays, and I was also doing a lot of work on my boyfriend's cosplays as well. He already had one that was finished from last year, so I was working on probably like 7 cosplays this past year, which was pretty wild, but yeah, I got to do, we did a version of Princess Bubblegum and Finn from Adventure Time, you know, everybody loves it, but we did this really cool version where we're kind of like in like this like weird hipster biker gang, but we're based, our costumes are based off of this fan art by, the artist, her name is Jackie De Leon, look her up, she's amazing, and then we did gender swap Harley and Joker the next day, which was amazing. Definitely my favorite by far. Also my hottest costume. I was covered a lot.
is gender swap a common practice at these cons?
It really is. I saw a lot of it going on, which is super cool to see people, you know, take on these, you know, to do these costumes in such creative ways.
Yeah.
In order, you know, like to, when a girl does a guy, you know, you call it like, for instance, I was Femme Joker, you know, and, that day we had a couple of people tell us, oh God, what did they call me? I got Jokette. That's what someone called my boyfriend, Charlie Harley or something. Like, yeah, Charlie Quinn. No, Charlie Quinn. Cause he Charlie has Quinn. Really curly mustache and we're like, do they think, I don't know, but, oh gosh. And then the third day we were Black Canary and, he was Robin, the Teen Titans version. Okay. And then our last day, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And then our last day we were like, okay, we're exhausted. We know we were going to be exhausted. So we went real easy and we did, Faith and, Xander from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So
there you go. That was the easy one.
Was the easy one. It was. We were just wearing these really awful like 90s clothes, and the hardest thing I had to do was she has this really awful, ugly tribal tattoo on her arm. So I made that and wore that, and also my boyfriend had to wear an eye patch. So he was bumping into a lot of stuff that day. It was pretty. It was pretty funny.
For the record, I know this is going to sound terrible, but I feel like Joker would be so much scarier if he was a woman.
Totally. Like, just, it was so much fun getting to, like, mess around with people and stuff that day. Like, oh, man. Because you mix, like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it, but, like, you mix, like, this really creepy scariness and craziness of Harley, and, you know, you smash that into the already, like, the horrifying craziness of Joker, and then, you know, that's when you get like female Joker, and it was so much fun to play that and just like, you know, smile menacingly at people.
I like the community of conventions too, because if if done properly, you have people who are being cool with each other, basking in their common appreciation of all things geek.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just get to walk around and appreciate other people's cosplays. Are there any cosplays that you were like, man, that's a great cosplay? I bet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Years.
Okay. Oh gosh, I know. I gotta think. I just saw so many this weekend, and anytime that's what's really cool is like, you know, people would tell us like, oh my god, I love your cosplay, and then like we tell other people, oh my god, I love it, and like, you know, we're trading like tips with one another. For instance, like, I really wanted to do, a Batgirl this year, but it ended up just not being like, I wasn't able to, you know, execute that. It's a very difficult costume to do. It's also really expensive. And I saw a couple really good Batgirls, but there was one in particular who had this really amazing cowl. And, that was one of my main concerns with my cowl. And so I asked her like how she made it, and she's like, oh, here you go. And she gives me the card of like the person who made it for her. And I was like, all right. Like, so yeah, I saw lots of Batgirls I loved. Oh gosh. Okay. The one that's sticking out to me right now is there was, I can't remember what his crafty name was, but he was a Wolverine, but he was a Jewish Wolverine. And his claws were menorahs.
Oh my god.
It was so funny. He looked great. Like he looked just like Wolverine, but he had menorah claws, and it was just the funniest thing, and I loved it.
That was the best. I hope the costume was cheaply made too, just to be in style.
Oh, I know, right? Right. I mean, it gets wouldn't be that hard, you know, you're just wearing the white shirt and the pants, but oh man, those menorahs, those are great.
That's terrific. And I feel like that's a great costume. I love when people put a fun spin on things, but I feel like some people would also be really offended. Going back to that super geek you were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Right.
How dare you make Wolverine Jewish? He's not religious. Like, those people are the worst, and they make up a lot of Comic-Con. Also,
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, that's the thing. Like, that's kind of my impression was that kind of person was in the majority, but it's really not. Like, the people that are like, oh my god, that's awesome! Look at you, did such a great job. That was so creative of you. That's the majority of people who are at cons. Like it's such a more open, community than like I was expecting. And it was so cool to see like everybody just be so supporting of each other. It was great.
That's awesome. And a lot of stuff that happens at Comic-Con too is, stuff that people are talking about all the time. It's,
oh yeah,
you know, all of the things that I have the giant lines for. Yeah. Were there any of those big events? Because, like, for me, the only thing I really cared about coming out of this Comic-Con was my high school side getting flared up about the Simpsons Family Guy crossover. I can't wait for that. They showed that trailer. Yes, that trailer happened at Comic-Con. What were some other things that happened that kind of I maybe didn't pick up on?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, we definitely had... We had the Avengers Age of Ultron panel, which I very, very sadly did not get into, even after waiting 7 hours.
7 hours?
Waited 7 hours for that, and I did not make it in.
At that point, you could have gone to L.A., gone back to San Diego, and brought, like, tacos or something.
I mean, luckily we had like a whole bunch of people in our group. So like some of us would venture out for a little bit and then we go grab food and then we come back and, you know, hold places for each other. But still it was crazy. But the Avengers panel was going on. Like we were right outside the door, which was kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But we got to, you know, we were live tweeting. Well, we were reading all the live tweets and stuff. So we're like, all right, we see what's going on. But, yeah, there was definitely that. Obviously, announcements for, like, The Hobbit and, you know, other giganto movies that are coming out. I'm trying to think. Oh, gosh. It's seeming so distant now.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like such a blur, right?
Because it does. Yeah. It's weird. It was just a crazy weekend. Like, it was exhaustingly long, but at the same time, like, oh, my God, it went by so fast.
How much, besides getting the cosplay together, which I'm sure is a bulk of the work, how much work goes into getting ready, like preparing yourself?
I think I was more prepared than anyone ever. I made probably like a dozen different lists. So I, like, these lists I had were so detailed and crazy. Like, I didn't forget anything, so it worked.
Item one, remember there are 73 original episodes of Star Trek, or you will be excommunicated from the nerd community.
No, I mean, like, also in preparation, you know, I tried to catch up on a bunch of the shows I was watching, before I went to their panels, because, you know, I didn't want to be spoiled, so caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D., caught up on Orphan Black, you know. And so that was work. That was like something to me that I was like, all right, this is a task I need to do. I need to sit down and binge watch this show. So that was pretty fun.
Hanging out with nerds. I have a lot of nerd friends, and
yeah,
it is work, you know,
it's work being a nerd, man.
Yeah. It's hard. People are like, no, you don't have to work hard, but it is, because if you go around a nerd who has seen something you haven't seen, you're going to end up having seen it by the time you finish talking to this person.
Yep, that is so true. Or having them, like, give you the entire history and rundown of everything.
Oh, man. And the worst phrase of all time, I don't want to spoil this for you.
Wow. Yeah, I say that a lot. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it is. Because then you do spoil something right after you say that. It's like I don't mean to sound racist, but
oh yeah, whatever
you're
phrase.
Sound racist.
Yeah, whatever phrase comes after that next phrase, it sounds racist.
Yep.
Even though you don't mean it to sound racist, it's gonna.
It's gonna be.
I've accepted that as an inevitability. I did a show. This is gonna be really racist, but I'll tell the story here. I did a show at South Central on. God, was it on Tuesday?
Uh-huh.
And it was my first... actually, no, that's not true. Because when I first started doing stand-up, I did a show in front of an all-black room. But I was very new, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I bombed horribly. So I went back, and I did it on Tuesday. And, oh my God, I was just so... I didn't know what to expect. I showed up. And I don't want to be racist, but...
Oh, geez.
This all-black crowd had a taco man. And it was awesome.
They know what's up. They know what's up. People know good food, man.
That's the highlight of my story, though. There were tacos there, and that's it. I'm gonna put that in my book someday. What's that?
It's South Central. I just assume that there's like Taco Man's on every corner.
Yeah, there's like, hey, tacos, Taco Man. Hey. Like New York, you have like hot dog vendors and stuff, but in South Central, all they have is a Taco Man.
Oh, man, that sounds great. I want some Taco Man now.
That's so ideal. I don't know. That was a great story. That was cool.
Oh,
geez. So you mentioned the show called Orphan Black, and I've been hearing a lot about it. It's available for streaming on Amazon Prime, so if anybody is listening and wants to grab Amazon Prime and support the website at the same time, go up to thingsdesays.net and subscribe to Amazon Prime from there. But tell me about the show, because I know a lot of people are talking about it, and it's kind of a big thing right now.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. No, I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah. No, I won't. It's just this really beautiful, complex show. And you know, I'm going to use the C word, the not so fun C word, the other C word, the clone word.
Oh no.
Because pretty much everybody knows that by now. I don't think I'm spoiling anything by that. But you have this show where it's just this complex interweaving of, there was this experiment that was done, I guess in the 70s, to make these clones. And finally, these clones, which are female, start to begin to figure that out and find one another. And it's kind of their whole journey in discovering why they were made and, you know, what their purpose is. And it's so amazing. It's got these really fantastic characters. Again, you know, Tatiana Maslany, the lead, she's playing 12 different characters. And each one of them is just so beautifully unique in their own way. Like, I mean, she does everything from like a British accent to an American accent to Russian to Ukrainian. She's amazing. And each character is just so different. You forget that it's the same person. And, she was joking at the panel that she was watching a show with her mom, and her mom, even, while they were watching a scene with one of the other clones, was like, oh, when are you going to come back on screen? Like, her mom didn't even recognize that it was her. She's so good at it.
Wow. That's awesome.
But that was a very vague description, I know. But the show is just so great. It explores so many different aspects of life and of, you know, being what it is to be like an actual complex woman. Like, I haven't seen writing of a woman character this good in a very long time. And it's super exciting, to see it. And, you know, they also deal with a lot of other issues, issues about like the LGBT community. You know, they have a trans character, they have a character that's lesbian, and, just their handling of it is just so fantastic. And, but at the same time, you know, the show is just, it's full of action and it's sexy and it's mysterious and,
yes,
you know, it's one of those, like, keep you on the edge of your seat. Like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch the next episode. You're also going to cry a lot. Like, it's really emotional. I mean, this show is just unlike anything I've seen in a really, really long time.
The description for this show that should go on Amazon is sexy action mystery roller coaster.
There we go.
That's either the description for the show or the name for my next, like, funk step band didgeridoo. I don't know.
I like it.
It'll be good. You mentioned that, and I'm curious. I kind of want to explore that a little bit more. Is why are women characters not as well written as guy characters? Because we do have, there are female writers in those writers' rooms,
right? I think the answer still overwhelmingly is that we do have, you know, still writers' rooms that are dominant or are predominantly male.
Uh-huh.
And I will not for one second say that men can't write women for, you know, like the for Orphan Black, the writers are men, and I think they're doing a fantastic job. But we need to have more input at these higher levels, not just the writers. We need, and our producers, also, we need more women who are, you know, are going to help put in these real experiences. And, you know, and again, even though we do have women writers, oftentimes just based on, you know, I don't want to get too deep into everything, but, like, you know, just based on like our socialization and our internal, even misogyny sometimes,
sure,
you know, women themselves, like, we'll also, you know, relegate ourselves in our writing to kind of tropey stuff, where even if you're trying to, you know, write this quote unquote strong female character, you know, it might not be the very best representation. I'm totally going to throw this movie under the bus, but, like, for instance, you know, the movie Lucy that just came out, you know, is really marketing itself as, like, yeah, she's this badass female character.
Uh-huh.
But if you, like, actually watch it, I mean, there's a lot of problems with that movie. But it's like, we can't just keep writing our female badasses as, you know, being one-dimensional ass kickers, you know? Like, sure, women are so much more than that. Like, we're so complex, and you're allowed to be badass and emotional at the same time. You also don't need to carry around a gun to be a strong female character, quote unquote. Which is where I think they really get that down in Orphan Black, because you have some of the characters that, you know, are badass and are carrying guns, but then you also have the other ones that are using their brains and their beauty and everything else to, in order to, you know, fight back, basically.
What I'm getting from this is something I've always wanted to say. Tarantino.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I do love me some Tarantino. He does need a little bit of help. It's really funny. I accidentally stumbled into a panel on accident this weekend, and he was there.
Oh.
And, yeah, but actually, he said a couple things that I was very pleasantly surprised by, and it turns out that he's not just a creepy dude. He just looks a little creepy.
Sure.
He actually really cares and is, like, really consciously, like, trying to be a better writer of, like, women and of people of color. Because what he was talking about is, they're actually right now, they're making a Django and Zorro comic book. And so he was talking about, like, the importance of writing, like, really awesome, well-rounded characters of color. And I was like, all right. I think he's been getting a little bit of help from other writers and kind of input. So I'm hoping that that'll transfer onto his female characters as well. Because I'd be lying if I said I didn't love his female characters. You know, of course, like, they are, you know, the the sword wielding ass kicking babes, but
yeah,
but like they're not just that in my eyes, but yeah, of course he could do a little better, but
yeah, I think writers just need to. I think it's also because writers are so like when you write, and you know this because you're a writer. When you write, yeah. It's like you're putting yourself out there, and you don't want. It's hard to reach out to people and ask how can I fix me.
Right. Yeah. Especially, you know, when you have these people who have just been so loved and revered for like so long, like Tarantino, you know, it's like, why fix something that's not broken kind of thing. It, that might be how he's seeing it in his eyes. But yeah, like sometimes I think it's hard for, and I'm not saying it's like ego or anything, but especially, you know, male writers like who have kind of been unchecked their whole lives. It's kind of harder for them to get these messages through to them. Like, hey, you got to do a little bit better with your writing of POC characters and of female characters.
Well, Katie Madden, Comic-Con is just such an awesome time. So have you recovered yet from your con hangover?
Finally, I think. I've been working late shifts, so I've been getting to sleep in a little. But nice. It's funny because everybody's like, you're going to get the post-con depression. And I haven't experienced it yet, so I'm kind of scared for when it hits me. Because I think it's going to hit me real hard. so we'll see.
Have you watched any, like, geek-related shows since Comic-Con?
Geek-related shows? Oh, gosh. Let me think. Not necessarily geek-related, but when I was there, you know, they're on their buses and on the billboards, like, there's... Uh-huh. Tons and tons of advertising right around the convention center. They hit you hard. And there was a lot of advertising for the show The Leftovers.
Okay.
On HBO, which was something I was already like, okay, this looks pretty interesting. But as soon as I got home, I was like, all right, let's watch it. So I've been watching it. But yeah, there's a couple other shows. Like, for instance, I got to go to the Legend of Korra panel,
okay.
Which I've never seen. Yeah, I've never seen any of it. But going to that panel made me really want to watch the show. So I'm probably going to start that soon.
You got to get on that because I think the last couple episodes aren't even airing on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, no, it's like a pretty big deal. And like my boyfriend's like, you can't just start with Legend of Korra. You have to watch Avatar, Last Airbender first. And I'm like, oh God, that's so much.
Is this the follow-up to Avatar? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's a follow-up. It's you know, it's Korra when she's older. So.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to watch that because it's really good. And the animation is freaking amazing.
Oh, I know all about Avatar. I watched the first, like, you know, two episodes. I'm an expert on that show.
Oh, yeah. And then the really shitty movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They made a movie.
Yeah. That was...
Not the James Cameron, though. They did another worse one. But
it was M. Night Shyamalan, so...
Oh, did he direct that movie, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Christ. I want to watch it now just for lols.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's just pretend it didn't happen.
All right. Well, Katie Madden, we're wrapping things up. I want you to let people know, because you've spent the last half hour talking about awesome things with me. I want people to know where they can reach out to you, get in touch with you, or experience more of your work.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, if you want to get more into my professional work, I do have I have a website. It is Katie Marie Madden. Everything, you know, how it sounds. Katie, K-A-T-I. Am I spelling my name right? Yeah. Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Madden, M-A-D-D-E-N. No relation to the football player or the shoemaker.
I'm not even going to do my impression.
No, don't even do it. Oh, gosh. And then it's katiemariemadden.wordpress.com. And that's where you can get a little bit more of my contact information if you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. Just shoot me an email and let me know that you want to follow me.
Awesome. And if you didn't get that, we'll have the link for you on the website if you go to thingsdesays.net. If you're listening on iTunes, which, by the way, good job. Welcome to the 21st century. Make sure to head up to thingsdesays.net and we'll have the link for you there to check out all of Katie's wonderful exploits. So, Katie, thanks so much for being on the show. And
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the next time you go to a big convention, we'll have you back on.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Katie Madden, for being on the show. Thank you for listening to Culture Mind Pop for another week. Thank you for all the support, by the way. All the love on iTunes, on Amazon. We appreciate it so much. Next week, I'm coming back with another good friend of mine, Tom West, who is very into comedy, very into music, and he's working for a great cause. Tom West is on the show next week. please check it out Saturday right here on thingsdeathsays.net. In the meantime, remember, we have our Monday show where we talk about professional wrestling. That show happens, well, this coming Monday right here on thingsdeathsays.net and on this very iTunes feed. If you're using iTunes, you don't have to do a thing. It's going to come straight to your computer. If you're not on iTunes, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Just head on up here to thingsdeathsays.net, click on the iTunes button, and it'll automatically subscribe you, and you'll get every show sent straight to your computer. Every People's Podcast, every Culture My Pop, every Throwback Vibes, every bonus interview that I post up there, it's going to go straight to your computer, your iPhone, your Droid, whatever magical device you use to partake in packets of data. It's going to go right there. Remember also, if you want to leave a review, leave us a rating, please do. Every review helps. It enhances the algorithm that Apple uses to display podcasts. So I'm told. I don't really know how this works. I just know that good ratings are good for me. So please do them. Leave us a review there, and I would appreciate it greatly. And of course, Amazon.com. Go to thingsdeathsays.net. Click on the Amazon link, and every purchase you make will help us just a little bit in hosting costs, archiving, all sorts of crazy expensive things that it's not fun to pay for. So please help us out in that regard if you can. Bookmark the link if you'd like. You can just go whenever you're going to buy new stuff. So there you go. Thanks so much for listening. We are out until Monday. We'll talk to you then. I'm Des Delgadillo. It's thingsdeathsays.net. I'm not going to steal Faraz's line. So bye.